sir, what is your name, sir?
Andres Patron.
Okay, I believe the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting your hearing.
Can you repeat again?
I'm just saying that the Honorable Mr. Johnson will, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, when you sit down here, will be conducting your hearing just in one moment, sir, once he gets his paperwork together. So just hold on to the phone.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Fine, you?
Good, sir. I noticed on your paperwork that you requested a Spanish interpreter.
Yes, sir.
So did they, are you going to need a Spanish interpreter, or they have someone there to interpret for you?
Well, sometimes, you know, but I can speak English too.
So you have a sheet mark that you want a Spanish interpreter, sir, so I just want to make a determination whether we need to get a Spanish interpreter for you or not.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing this morning, okay? To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line to the right is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate left is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. And my name, sir, is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, okay?
Thank you, sir.
So you're appearing before this board for a absolute discharge or a regular parole. You're currently serving a sentence for a murder in the first degree. You're serving a life sentence. You became parole eligible on May 5th of 2014. You have also served an expired 7.5-year term for aggravated assault. I see that you do have a detainer from the U.S. Department of Justice as well as from the Pima County Clerk Court. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, your sentence began on May 5th of 1989. I do have your institutional progress report, sir. According to your institutional progress report, you have taken some program. It only shows a limited amount of program that you've taken. It says that in 04 you had design for living, 07 you had substance abuse education, then you had a thinking class in 09, 08 you had the smart recovery class, and then in 09 you also had the cognitive thinking class. Have you taken any more program other than that, sir?
Now?
Yes.
Well, I don't really. Since I go to the yoga, that's it.
Okay. All right. So, sir, also I see that it says that you have the support of your family. You're planning to live on your own. Your family is going to pay for your food, housing, and medical and other expenses that may arise upon your release. You don't have any comment about program. I also stated that you completed all your programming while incarcerated. Under your comments, it says that you've had, you haven't had any disciplinary actions in the past 5 years.
No, sir.
And you was a staff barber with little or no supervision. It says that you're very courteous and respectful to staff and inmates. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
It looks like your last discipline was in 09 for disrupting count. And that was in 1909, and you haven't had any discipline since that time.
Yes, sir.
You've been before this parole board for parole or absolute discharge 4 times, and you were denied, and 1 time that your hearing was continued to, since 2013. Your last parole hearing was on March 23rd of 2017, at which time it was denied. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes, sir.
So you did attach some program information that you've accomplished since you've been included. I'm going to go over some of that information with you, that you have some certificates. And there's also in here where, according to your progress relief board, police report that there are some classes that's not actually in the report, that the original Ames report that we got, that you got your eighth grade diploma, 96, desire for living, says that you took a Spanish English for the workplace in January of 2013, and you took a beginning Spanish class in 2012, and you also took one in 2013. So I was kind of curious, sir, if you need an interpreter, why would you take beginning Spanish classes?
To help and other people who still work at Spanish or I made it.
So it was for what now?
We have to, it's a kind of a program for the people who don't, white people in Mexico makes it as education.
So you help them learn Spanish? You're teaching it? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So also, sir, I did see that you had some letters in here. One of them is from the Arizona Correctional Industries, and it was a letter from 1992, which was that you were going to be reclassified. So it was a letter in support of you being reclassified. There's another letter in June of 1992. Also about your reclassification and support of that. There's some letters in here that you wrote to the Board of Executive Clemency about your hearing that you directed to our Executive Director, Ms. Kirstenbaum, and I see that she did respond and answer to your questions that that you had in there. There are a couple of letters in here dated in 2016, March of 2016, and this was from some of the church group that's actually been out there working with you, and it was actually more of a character letter, which actually spoke to your attending the church program and the program that they actually had for you out there. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And there was one letter I thought that was in there, sir, that was from your son. That was the only family letter of support that you had here. And I do see that you do have some supporters here that's here in the hearing room with us today, okay?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to go over some of the court documents that we actually have here with us. And this is a court document, which is a pre-sentence report, which basically say on the night of May 5th, 1989, the victim, Alex Bencourt and Martin Rodriguez, halted their vehicle in front of you and your girlfriend's residence in the 100 block of West Palmdale in Tucson. It says that the defendant and you and your girlfriend was outside the residence sitting on a truck when Mr. Rodriguez stopped his vehicle to permit his passenger to urinate, that he urinated in the view of you and your girlfriend. Says the defendant approached you and you guys in an argument and ensued, and then it says that Mr. Bancart then struck the defendant, returned to his vehicle, and Rodriguez drove off. And so it says on the next day around 2:09 a.m. you were with your girlfriend as a passenger in your vehicle. Then you saw the defendants driving to the parking lot of a fast food restaurant in the 3900 block of South 6th Avenue. At that time, you pulled your vehicle alongside the driver's side of the victim's vehicle. You saw the defendant with the gun, pointed the weapon at Rodriguez. Rodriguez dumped. You fired one shot, and the bullet struck Mr. Bencourt in the head. It says that you then drove off, but after the officer and several other witnesses gave responding police officers the description of your vehicle, and that you were stopped at Park and 25th Street and arrested. However, no gun was found, but your girlfriend said that you had threw the gun out of the direct vehicle when you drove off. So what was going on that night in your own words? Could you just tell us, boy, what what occurred, what was going on, and what sparked you to fire that shot, sir?
Can you allow me read some lyrics I have for a transcription statement? If you give me an opportunity to read to you, you can. That is more incredibly okay. If I read this letter for you.
Okay, well, go ahead,
you
sir.
Allow me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Martin Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez saying that I have Alex Ventacore at the Rijitos Club about 10:30 to 11 p.m. The night of the shooting, Alex and I have been to drink. The two stayed there until 1 o'clock. Then visit outside the club until about 1:30. Alex had too much to drink, so Martin was going to lean around to the sober up for driving him home. Alex had to urinate. Martin turned from the main street to find a less troubled spot when he could stop. Pandel, in the residential street, he pulled over to the curb. Alex went behind the truck to urinate. At that time, Martin noticed no other people around. Whatever, shortly thereafter, an argument ensued between Alex and a fellow who was sitting inside the truck. With his good friend, he baby. A fellow's truck was on the other side of the street. On Martin's truck. So Martin and Alex left the scene. Alex went across to the street to the vehicle, and a police emerged from it. Alex hit a pill fighting in the face. Probably right square on the jaw. When he, the person, fell back against in his vehicle, a person looks in his tracks for a tool with which to defend himself against Martin, Alex and Martin. A person say, "I know you and I will find you." Martin and Alex left the scene and drove to the Whataburger restaurant a few blocks away. According to Martin, it took 5 to 10 minutes to pull around the parking lot. A fellow pickup truck then pulled alongside Martin's truck when they were handing a positive direction, placing the driver next to each another, about 10 feet. But Martin, who was driving his truck, saw Valentin sitting in the drive that sit on this truck. He saw out the window and got in him, pointing to Martin direction. You see, that my point is that I was in constant for my accident, you know, but in this accident I never know who. Because I don't know if Martin hit my face or not, but it's what I call it like an accident. But I feel sorry for that. I never know to what I do because I was on the drugs and liquor and all that kind of thing. I know it was not me. I was somebody else. Uh-huh. And I know that I'm guilty, you know, but I can do nothing. I feel remorse for that. But yeah, what can I say?
So
I'm sorry.
Okay. So Mr. Padron, why did you point the gun and shoot it at their car, at their truck?
Well, it's a. I think I was so bad, mad, and all kind. Because I don't know. I was at that time. I think I was crazy.
What you
were? Because I wasn't. I don't know. I can explain it really. My pain was real bad.
What was it that was real bad?
What do you mean?
What did you say was real bad, sir, at that time?
Well, my pain and my job, because I wasn't thinking it would have been somebody that was going to hit me in the face.
So you were upset that they hit you in the face?
Yeah.
So when you ran across them, did you guys say something to each other, or what happened?
No, I never say nothing.
You just...
I was waiting for my friend, but he's coming to my truck, and I didn't say nothing.
So what?
I called him, what is que bonito in Spanish. That means, was it beautiful? It's a word that the Mexican used for somebody did do something wrong in front of the family.
Mm-hmm. So how many shots did you fire, sir? When you fired your gun, how many times did you fire?
Just once.
And what was your girl? What did your girlfriend say? What did she say when this was happening?
She's nothing. She was asleep in that time.
So when they stopped the truck and urinated in front of your girlfriend, did you guys? What was said between you guys then? What happened?
Well, nothing. It's just since we tried to give a ride to my friend to her house, but when these guys came in park at the in front of us and started urinating over there. That's why they called him que bonito. But it's kind of in our culture, it's a different situation because it's about respect, you know. But I never know if he knows or speak English or Spanish, you know, because I don't know those guys. Okay. Really don't.
So you feel they disrespected you when they stopped and urinated in front of you and your girlfriend?
Well, I don't say nothing. That was for my family friends, but I say, well, one guy is what he said. But there's nothing else.
Okay.
And then Alex and Mr. Anthony attacked me, you know. I don't know why.
Because I'm kind of looking at your juvenile, and it doesn't really show you had a juvenile criminal record, but it says as an adult, in 1970, you were deported to Mexico from El Centro, California, for illegal entry. Then it says in 72, you were arrested for false personation, and you were deported back to Mexico. Then in 86, you had a false claim to be a U.S. citizenship, and you were released back to Mexico. And then also in 1988, you had a traffic violation, no proof of insurance, driving on a suspended license. It says that they found a .22 caliber handgun in your car and a butt knife at that time inside your car. Where are you originally from in Mexico, sir?
So what?
Where are you originally from? Where are you originally from in Mexico?
From San Luis Potosí.
Okay. So how old when you first came to the United States, sir? How old were you?
I was about, I think
the
first time was 22,
23
years.
Okay. And do you know how many times you've been deported back to Mexico, sir?
Since three, I think.
And so, if you were released and deported back to Mexico, do you have family there in Mexico too, sir?
Yes, sir.
So I didn't really, and maybe I missed it, but I didn't really see letters from your family in Mexico. Did you have some letters from them?
Yeah. It's my mom, my dad, my sister, Karina Padron. Yeah, and my son.
Okay, and I think your son lives here in the United States, though. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Send no additional questions from the board, Mr. Padron. I do see that you have two supporters here. You have your son. I want to say Alberto Padron.
Alberto Padron.
And then you have... Mr. Padron, do you want to just come up to the mic, state your full name, and provide the board with what information you want to provide the board, sir?
I don't understand the question.
Your son, I'm asking your son to come up and provide what information he want to provide to the board.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so your son's getting ready to speak now, sir.
So my name is Alberto Padron. I'm 28. And it's been really hard for us growing up without a father. And it's just, it would mean the world for me and my son. I would like for him to be around him, hug him, kiss him. It's just, it's been hard for us, for the whole family, since without growing, without a father, it would mean the world to us. If you give them the opportunity.
So Mr. Patron, I did in your letter, but I wasn't quite clear in the letter where your father, if he was given a home arrest, where he would stay. It didn't exactly say that he would stay with you. I thought he wanted to stay somewhere else.
So we're talking about him going to Puerto Peñasco Rocky Point?
Yes.
And he says he's a mechanic. He wants to do, he wants to work in boats and motorcycles and TVs. Just anything with motorized. And he wants to go to school for solar panels, since solar is really, their electricity and water is really needed. Mm-hmm. Over there, there's nothing really, it's hard to make a living over there. Solar panels are really, really growing over there in Rocky Point. So that's our plan. So we would like to have them. Mm-hmm. Hopefully with me, my help and him, I can have I'm working, making quite a good living right now, so I would help him for these couple months while he gets set up, you know, for him. Yeah. So I'm going to school, and he wants to go to school to do electronics for solar panels.
Okay. So where do you live at, sir?
Tucson, Arizona.
In Tucson, okay. So, you didn't come to father to stay with you, or he didn't want to stay with you, or?
Well, he just wanted to go back to Mexico, to Rocky Point, for me to be close enough for to see my son and I, but not to, he just wants to go back.
Okay.
Doesn't seem he, you know, he don't think that he's wanted here, so that's the plan.
Does the board have any questions? Mr. Tenyano.
Just a quick follow-up. I'm sorry if I missed this, but does your father have some place to live between the time he was possibly released and dealt with ICE and Mexico? Where would he live, in your idea?
Where would he be released?
No. What I'm saying is if the board voted to grant him home arrest or regular parole, where would he live?
Until here in Tucson?
Yes, until the ICE issue was... What's that?
He can live with me. I have a four-bedroom apartment.
In Tucson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. I just... The practical issues are important to consider.
Yeah.
Because we recognize that there's an ICE detainer. We don't know how that would turn out. We don't know how long that would last.
Okay.
But the Department of Corrections would be very concerned about... his transitional plans.
So. Okay.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, he has my full support.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, sir, if your father was released and he had, I'm not even sure because you can't release him on home arrest because he has...
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I just meant an address, you know, because I don't know how long it would take to deal with ICE authorities or kind of some different jurisdiction.
So we also have family in Nevada. So we need to stay, in Nevada and Washington. We have family. So I mean, there's plenty of places where you can start a new life.
Thank you for that correction, Mr. Johnson. I just meant address, if it was so deemed.
Okay, does the board have any other questions? Mr. Patron, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, did anyone else wish to speak in support of Mr. Patron?
No, not right now.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Patron, sir, we're going to come back to you. We're coming up on a conclusion on your hearing, sir. I want to see if there's anything else you'd like to say to the board, prior to the board, going into actual discussion at this time, sir. And let me ask you, because I didn't, you said you have family in Mexico, but there was nothing in the file that I could see. The only letter of support that I saw was the letter from your son, who, Mr. L, that just testified before. So were there some other letters that maybe we didn't get that you should have had in the file?
Well, they sent me that for this. For San Luis Potosí, because my mom, my sister, my niece live there, so they bring me some support too. But they have houses, and each person has their own house.
Okay.
So if I have a chance, if I want to be living in Puerto Peñasco or Nogales. Well, I can go to San Luis Potosí. I have a support, family support, sir.
But you wanted to go to Rocky Point. That's the information.
No matter. I have several options, you know, that's what I mean.
Okay, but you didn't list those other options in the information that we have here today. I didn't see those other options.
Yeah, this is gay, you know, but I really go to live in Puerto Peñasco because I'm close to my son and my old kid. They're the point, you know.
Okay. So, let's see. As I said, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. I want to see if there's anything additional you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion.
Well, the only thing I want to say is I need to ask him for a second chance and for my age too, and I I do work for 25 years in prison as a pretty good worker, is what I say, you know, because January 9th is not, it's not easy to work, and then they're still working until now. If I touch your house, you can give me a chance. I can go to Mexico, and I never return to the United States. I promise. Please, I need my second chance, if you can. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Padron, the board's going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, so you'll be able to hear the discussion taking place to the board. At times it may seem as though we're going to be talking to you, but we're going to be talking amongst ourselves. So please remain on the phone, so remain silent while we're in discussion. The board is now in discussion. This is a case, and I couldn't really figure out what the hold on him that he has for the Pima County clerk that I didn't see in there. I would imagine it's some probation or something that's in there, but I didn't see what it was. I did see the hold by the U.S. Department of Justice that he actually had in there. Is this for regular parole or absolute discharge? I certainly don't see him being eligible at this time for an absolutely discharge. I'm concerned about paroling him out on regular parole and him going back to Mexico if he's deported back to Mexico, because he has three separate times where he was here and deported back to Mexico, and each of those times he came back to the United States and wind up getting in trouble until this final incident that we actually have here. So at this time, I've looked at his family plan. According to his family plan, and the only letters that I saw of support was a letter from his son, who just testified here today. His son did testify. That was the only letter of support. There were a couple other letters in there from the prison church and a couple of people, but they weren't letters of support for his release. They were letters for support for a reclassification, that he was going to be reclassified, and I believe those letters may have went back, if I recall right, to 1992, that he was there. And so this was an incident that, you know, what I consider unprovoked murder. I know that he said that, you know, the guys urinated in front of his girlfriend, it was a matter of respect, and it appears that he just saw him and pull up to the truck, pull out a gun, fired one round. The driver of the truck ducked and it struck the passenger and then killed the passenger and the actual car itself. So I'm not confident that Mr. Patron wouldn't return back to the United States, and there was no letters or information about his family in Mexico and his term where he wanted to go, according to the support letter that came from his son, is that he wanted to go back to Mexico, but he wanted to go to, I almost called it Casa Grande, Rocky Point. He wanted to go to Rocky Point, which he doesn't have any family there at Rocky Point, nor is there any system or set up there that he's going to need, although his son did say that he does make a good living there, and he would be able to help and support his dad if he had to do that. And he also said that if his dad was here in the United States, that his dad could come live with him. I think he said he had a four-bedroom apartment that he currently has right now, that his dad could actually live with him. However, because of the circumstances and the holds that he actually had on him, and the fact that he has gone to Mexico three times, been deported three times, and returned these times that he's returned, he's been involved in some type of criminal activity. I just don't feel that Mr. Patron should be released back to regular parole, or released to regular parole, or given an absolute discharge at this time. Well, I am going to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, I don't think we can parole somebody. I mean, Mr. Grady might be able to answer this, but I don't think we can parole someone to Mexico. Do we have interstate? No, we have no sort of agreement, so we can't. It would not be an option. It would have to be to the United States, so. And most of the plans that he has laid out involve going to Mexico, so it would have to be here.
Mr. Kenyatta.
Can I follow up with that? Because that's sort of what I was speaking to earlier, and that is if parole is an option, he would have to have an address for us, correct? Yeah, I wanted to make sure I was clear on that. Thank you.
I only thought about this because he has that detainer by.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what those things.
All right, therefore, I am going to, unless there's any more comments by the board, I am going to make a motion at this time to deny regular parole or absolute discharge to Mr. Alberto Padron at this time.
One second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
This incident occurred in 1989, so I'm going to ask for a 1-year cell. I'm going to mark for other reasons that it was a serious and violent offense. It was a weapon involved. I'm going to mark loss of human life. I'm going to mark multiple victims because there were two subjects in the vehicle, one ducked. Mark prior criminal history. He did have a lot of programming that he's done. I'm going to mark a poor or no release plan. And I really, he doesn't have, you know, other than his son, there was no family or community support that was actually set up in here. So I'm going to mark other, and I'm going to say very little family support since he did have a son, and his son is here appearing as support. Okay. Unless the board can think of any additional reasons that they'd like to see. Okay, Mr. Patron?
Yes, sir.
So the board has voted to deny you absolute discharge of regular parole. We voted to set your cell off for 1 year, which means that in the next year you will be, the Department of Correction will certify you eligible to come back before this board in about a year, sir. We marked on here your reasons for denial: is serious and violent offense, loss of human life, multiple victims, prior criminal history, poor or no release plan, and then I also marked other that you only had a letter from your son who was also here in support of you. Do you have any questions, sir? Do you understand your reasons for denial?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Patron, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity, sir, for appearing before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, but before I go, I see that your son did you have a question, sir?
I sent more, like, from family. They just couldn't come, but I sent, like, 4 or 5 letters.
Okay, because I didn't see them. We didn't get those letters.
I've sent them to an envelope to each and one of the board members.
Okay, well, we didn't receive those, sir. Okay?
They were with my letter for some reason. You received my letter, but not...
Yes, I have your letter. And then there's also, there were also two letters that was attached. One of the letters was from some members of a church that visits the prison that were more of a character letter that said that he was there, he attended the church service, he was very kind and polite. And there was one more letter that was similar to that that was attached to the file. Okay? All right, so that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. I do want to thank you for taking the time and appearing before this board. So I do want to thank you for taking the time to come down and speak and appear before the board. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time.